in such a way that they have no idea about the Bible. No idea about the Bible. And they have no idea. And then you read verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed down themselves unto them, and provoked them to, and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hand of their enemies round about, so that they could not longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as he had said, as he had sworn unto their fathers, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges and delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed down themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which the Lord, which their fathers had walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of all their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods and to serve them and to bow down unto them. And they ceased not from their own doings and from their own stubborn way. You know, we all have our own doing, our own judgment.
Right.
And God says this is what the problem is with these people. They do not cease from their own doings. They're going to do it the way they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Their own stubborn way. God doesn't say what their reasoning was. You know, it may have been, well, my daddy always did this. All the people around us do this. It doesn't matter. Right. I feel this way. No, God said it was their own stubborn way. The reason why they were in captivity was because they turned against the Lord. Judges 3:6 explains it a little further, some of the problems. Why this generation was so wicked. Judges 3:6, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Sure. They were intermarrying with the people around them. What was the big deal about that? Well, God makes it very clear in Deuteronomy 7:1-5. You know, every problem they ran into, God explicitly warned them. It was like, how did we end up here? No, God told you explicitly. He didn't leave anything to the imagination. He said, don't do this. If you do this, this is exactly what will happen. This is exactly why I'm telling you not to do it. But they didn't listen to God. They went off their own reasoning, their own stubborn way. This is the way I'm going to do it because I think this is best. I don't care what God says. I don't care what Moses has said, Aaron has said. This is what I'm going to do. You read in Deuteronomy 7:1-5, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, where are they at? They're in the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and thou cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. They have more people, and the people are stronger. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them, then thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, show them no mercy, neither shalt thou make marriages with them.
Aye.
Thy daughters shalt thou not give unto their sons, and nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? God doesn't leave anything to the imagination. For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. That's exactly what happened. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shalt thou do with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images. You know, if you think your children can marry somebody that's lost, somebody that's not living for the Lord, you're running into the same problem that Israel's going to run in. Don't give your daughters to them. Don't give your sons. Why? They'll turn your heart from the Lord.
What?
It's very clear. You read in Deuteronomy 11:8. You know, they knew all this stuff. You know, God had told them before they even set foot in the promised land. When you set foot in the promised land, this is what you need to watch out for. And they did it despite the obvious warnings, the clear warnings of God. Deuteronomy 11:8-28. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong. God's word is so you can be strong, so you can do what God sets you out to do. How on earth are you going to defeat these seven nations when each one of them is stronger and more mighty? You know, look, they got more people, and the people are more mighty. How on earth are you going to do this? How on earth are you going to live for God in this generation? How on earth are you going to raise your kids right? Stand for the Lord in the workplace. By listening to everything that God says, God makes it very clear. There is no excuse. You know, 8:28. That ye may go in and possess it, whither ye go to possess it, that ye may prolong your days in life. How are you going to do that? Which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give unto you and your seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not as Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of ardent, a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is land of hills and valleys that drinketh the water of and rain of heaven, a land that the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord are always upon it, as the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass that if ye shall diligently, hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, the problem is many people want to do things half-heartedly. No, that's not the word God used. Diligently. You know, when somebody does a job diligently, they don't put in the bare minimal effort and expect the maximum results. That's the problem that we're seeing. You know, anybody that's in management has seen this. You know, you got people that show up to work. They might work well for 5 hours, 10 hours, maybe 2 weeks. But then they just kind of, you know, slack off and don't really do their job very well. You always have to check up on them. They're not looking for something to do. They're not doing it diligently. And God says, I don't want you to just hearken. I want you to diligently hearken. Search the scriptures. See what the Bible says. Work on memorizing. Work on applying it to our lives. He said, look, Israel, if you do these things, that I will give you the rain in your land in his due season. What was one of the problems Israel had? It had drought. That wouldn't have happened. God flat out said it would not happen if they had diligently hearkened. The rain in his first and latter season, that thou mayest gather thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. Another problem Israel had, famine. That wouldn't happen. If you had listened to God, God flat out promised, no drought, no famine. And you're going to be able to beat these people. And I will send grass in thy field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be filled. And verse 16, take heed to thyself, that your heart be not deceived. You know what? When you do things in your own wisdom, when you're not searching after the wisdom of God, your heart will be deceived. And turn aside and worship other gods. How are they going to prevent their hearts from being deceived? Once again, you know, verse 8. Therefore, ye shall keep all the commandments of the Lord.
Good.
It talks about how you love the Lord. You know, verse 13. Diligently hearken unto the Lord and his commandments. Love the Lord. Serve him with all your heart and soul. Right there. Verse 17 says what will happen if you don't serve the Lord. If you don't do those previous things. You don't diligently hearken to him. You aren't reading your word, his word. You're not loving the Lord with all your heart. That the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you and shut up heaven, and there be no rain, and your land yield no fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good ground which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Therefore, you know, if you don't want that stuff happening, shall ye lay up my words in your heart and in your soul. You know, if how is that going to happen? You're going to be deceived, serve other gods. So lay up my word in your heart and in your soul. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand, as for frontlets between thy eyes. Verse 19 is where a lot of people in church are failing. And ye shall teach them unto your children. You know, everybody's seen this. You know, you go out to the mall, you go to the grocery store, you go wherever, you just see your neighbors. You know, you'll see somebody 60, 70 years old. They're, you know, a woman, they're well-dressed, very modest, skirts coming below the knee, you know, it's the shirt's not showing anything that it should. You see her daughter, so somebody 40s, you know, dressed a little less modest. And then you see their the granddaughter, somebody 18 or under. And it's terrible. You know, their clothes are leaving nothing to the imagination.
That's right.
Why is that? Because they're not doing verse 19. They're not teaching these things unto their children. They're not, you know, and the Bible doesn't even leave you to imagine what teaching means. It spells it out, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven and earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk into his ways, and cleave him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations before you, and ye shall possess greater and mightier nations than yourselves.
Dad.
You know, so right here, they're in a position they should never be in if they had just done what God said. So verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was that when the children of Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they came up against them, and they camped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou comest unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither for his sheep, nor his ox, nor his ass. For they came up, and their cattle, and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers, uh-huh. For the multitude, both of they and their camels, were without number. And they entered into the land and destroyed it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth from the house of bondage. You know, God's reminding them what he did for them. Look, I've done all this stuff for you.
Right.
And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord. You know, sometimes we'd be good. It would do us a lot of good to remind us what God has done for us.
Sure.
You know, maybe it would help us to obey God a little bit better if we were reminded of everything he's done. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash, the Abiezrite, the son of Gideon, threshing wheat by the winepress, and hid it from the winepress, and hid from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this evil befallen us? You know, how on earth is, Lord, you're saying you're with us. That doesn't make any sense. Look, you know, the Midianites have conquered our armies. We're starving to death. Anything we grow, the Midianites take. How on earth are you saying you're with us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Right there. You know, Gideon, he was, you know, a lot of times when people read the Bible, they like to build up the people in the Bible, or they like to tear them down. But, I mean, I try not to do that. Sometimes I know I mess up. But I think Gideon is a lot like most of us. You know, that should have settled the matter. All right, Lord, I'm going. But what will it take to get you to obey the word of the Lord? It was clear what God said. It was clear who it was. But that wasn't enough for Gideon, as we'll see. And he said unto him, Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. You know, Gideon had an excuse. Lord, I can't serve you. I mean, my family, I come from a poor family. And I'm a nobody even in my own family. How on earth am I going to save these people? The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite Midian as one man. You know, God once again says, you know what? That's not a problem. You're going to beat them. Once again, that should have settled it. And he said unto him, If now I found grace in thy sight, then shalt thou show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and I set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou comest. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, and an ephah of flour, and flesh, and put it in a pan, put it in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it forth unto him under the oak, and presented. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay it upon the rock, and pour it out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord poured forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, and there arose a fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. That right there should have settled it. You know, he said, well, let me bring a present, you know, and show me a sign. And, you know, right there, you know, twice, God's made it very clear. But how many times are we like that? Oh, Lord, or do whatever you say. God shows, oh, Lord, or do whatever you say. You know, but would I have been much better in Gideon instead? I don't know. You know, if our country were to be invaded by China, we're hiding, you know, to eat food. And, you know, I have a vision of the Lord appearing to me. God wants you to raise up and drive out the Chinese. You'll do it, Eric. I don't think so. You know, sure, Lord, don't you mean Pastor Vernon? Yeah, but, you know, it's just honestly, how, right. I mean, would you be any better in that position? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear thou not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abarites. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord spake unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut it down the grove that is by it,
yes,
and built an altar unto the Lord thy God,
yes,
upon the top of this rock, and order the place, and take the second bullock, and offer the burnt offering with the wood of the grove which thou shalt build. You know, imagine if you're Gideon. Gideon says, Alright, I want you to go to your dad's house. Your dad has an altar. I want you to destroy it. It's one thing for God to ask you to confront sin in your life. But imagine God's asking you to confront sin in somebody else's life. You know, if you're going to obey God, it's not always going to be popular, especially with family. You can all, you know, it doesn't matter what family you are in. If you serve the Lord, somebody, somewhere in your family isn't going to like it.
Right.
You know, it's clear in Gideon's family who wasn't going to like it. At bare minimum, his dad. You know. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household. Once again, that's that family that doesn't quite like everything about serving the Lord. And the men of the city, yeah, it wasn't popular with the people around them as well. That he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. You know, it's like if Joab, I'm sorry, if Gideon was like the average person, well, there's just no way. Yeah. Well, there's a will. There is a way. He said, all right, I can't do it by day. I'll do it by night. And when the men of the city arose in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove that was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die. Gideon, he would have very good reason for not tearing down that altar. Look, I can be put to death for this thing. Do you think Gideon, this was a surprise to Gideon? Man, I never thought people would be so angry when I tore down the altar of my dad. No, of course he knows what's going to happen. He has some sort of ballpark idea of what's going to happen. Maybe he thought they would want to kill him. Maybe he thought they would want to beat him up or something. But at the very least, he knows they aren't going to be happy with it. But yet he obeyed the Lord anyways. Because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood by him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it's yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the beasts were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up unto him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, okay, God's told him twice. He's still, Lord, what will you have me to do? Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if there be dew on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so when he rose upon the morrow, that and thrust the fleece through, and wrung the dew out of it, it filled a bowl of water. And Gideon said unto God, so this is his fourth time now. I will speak this once. Let me, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew upon all the ground. Gideon's four times, he's questioned the will of God, and God's made it very clear. But how often is that? Well, I don't know what that verse says, and we'll go somewhere else in the Bible. Oh, I'm not sure what that one means either. Maybe it is clear. Maybe we just don't want to know what it says.
That's right.
Then Jerubbaal, who is called Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that be with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. As said, we all have trouble in our lives. Israel is in horrible trouble here. God wants to deliver them, but why didn't God deliver them right there? Why didn't God say, all right, get in, you got your army, go attack the Midianites? God makes it very clear. God doesn't want to deliver the Midianites into their hand because he knows Israel will vaunt themselves against him, saying, I did it. Maybe the reason why God's allowing us or you or whoever to go through the problems that they're going through is God wants to get you into a position in which there is no possible way through your own effort, you fix this problem. That you cannot vaunt yourself against God. The only possible explanation is that God did it.
Right.
Now, therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoso is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. You know, that was one of the things God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy. God had a list of things for military service that you would go and you'd tell the people. Whenever you go to a battle, this is what I want you to do. You know, if anybody's afraid, let them go home. Next thing. Did anybody recently get married within the last year? Let them go home. Did anybody buy a house? Did anybody, you know, it goes through a list of things. Go home. But yeah, they're doing God's will, God's way. You know, many times you see what needs to be done in the work of the Lord, but you want to do it your way, which isn't necessarily God's way. All right, and they returned from the people 20 and 2,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said to Gideon, there are yet too many people. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them there. And it shall be that of whom I shall say unto thee, this same shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And of whom I say, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said to give in every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. The number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people that bowed down upon their knees to drink. You know, if you were going to fight Midian, you know, 32,000 people, you're thinking that's not going to cut it. These people, there's just way too many. An army of 32,000 isn't going to cut it. God sends 22,000 away. You're left with an army of 10,000. If 32 wasn't enough, 10,000 surely is enough. And God says these people are so proudful. There's no way. They might still believe that they somehow did it. You know, their archers were so good. Their armor was so great. But how often are we like Israel? Where God has to put us in such a desperate scrape in order for us to give God the glory. I mean, think about it. 32,000 versus an army that's as the sand that's upon the sea. And yet they were so proudful that they couldn't believe that, you know, it was a miracle by God. God had to reduce them down to 300 men. For every 100 men that showed up, God had to send all away except one. Are we that hard-hearted that, you know, it's so clear what God's doing, but we're so apt to refuse to believe what God's doing.
Right.
That God has to put us in such a desperate scrape. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save thee and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all other people go every man unto his place. And the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every one, unto his tent. And there remained 300 men and the host of Midian beneath them in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto them, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I will deliver it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, why would God tell Gideon that? If thou fear to go down, because if I was Midian, I'd be very scared. Lord, I only got 300 people. It's not going to be enough. But I'm glad God kept giving Gideon extra chances. That, you know, but how many times in my own life has God given me an extra chance? Has God made his word abundantly clear over and over again? But thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what that they say, and afterwards shall thine hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pura, his servant, unto the other, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along on the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, for their camels were without number. And as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it. And the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the Lord, the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three columns, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and with empty pitchers and lamps with pitchers. And he said unto them, look upon me and do likewise. And behold, when I come unto the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye with the trumpet also on every side of the camp. Say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the camp, outside of the camp, in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and blew the trumpet, and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew their trumpets, and brake the pitchers that were in their left hands. And the trumpets in their right blew to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew the trumpet. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled from Bethshittah to and Zeratha, and to the border of Abel-Methola, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take them before the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters of Beth Baran and Jordan, and they took the two princes of Midianites, Orb and Zeb, and they slew Orb upon the rock, Orb and Zeb, and they slew all at Azar. Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Orb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. But, you know, when you obey the Lord, God can bring a great victory. But many a times, we don't obey the Lord because, you know, we're scared or we don't want to obey the Lord. We have a course of action that we want to take.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, as I said, that we cease not from our own stubborn way. You know, we were reading in Jeremiah where the Lord, he's just sent in the king of Babylon. He's destroyed Israel. They takes away most of the people to Babylon. There's a very small remnant left. They have a governor that's set over them by the king of Babylon. The Ishmaelites kill the governor. And so the people are really scared. They're thinking about fleeing to Egypt or staying there. And so they come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what does God want us to do? You know, whatever God says, we'll do. And that's a lot of us right there. Whatever the Lord says, I'll do it. Doesn't matter. You know, whether it's good or bad. You know, they even said that. You know, it does not matter. What God says, we'll do it. Because, you know, we look around. We see how, you know, we've just been destroyed. There's left few in number. And it says, all right, I'll pray to you. I'll pray unto the Lord for you guys. You know, number one, they were that's not bad necessarily per se, asking counsel from a godly man. But I don't see anywhere in Jeremiah that they themselves were seeking the Lord. They expected the pastor or the prophet to search for the Lord for them. And when 10 days later, God tells Jeremiah what to tell the people, he tells them, look, this is what God says. God says, stay here. Don't worry about the king of Babylon. It will be okay with you. And not even the next chapter, you know, Jeremiah also says, look, I know that you aren't going to listen. That's exactly what happens. I was like, oh, you're lying. And you know what? God may give you counsel from your preacher. But, you know, how often are we like that? Where it doesn't matter what God says. You know, God may tell us 3, 4, 5 times. We aren't going to listen. We always find some excuse. We always need more confirmation. Or we can be like what Gideon did in the end. He just simply obeyed the Lord, even though it didn't make any sense to him. I was never a general of armies or anything like that, but it doesn't sound like a good military plan to send 99% of your army away when you go to war. That's not a good plan. But that's God's plan, and God will bless it. Well, we're going to pray, and we'll dismiss. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you that your word is so clear, that you so often, Lord, you give us clear warnings.
Aye.
You don't make us have to wonder, Lord. And that so often when we find ourselves in a mess, it's because we just have not diligently hearkened to your word. We have not diligently searched your word, Lord. Because if we did, you would tell us what to do. You may not tell us everything that we'll need to do for the next 20 years, but Lord, you'll make it clear what way we should go. Lord, help us to trust your word, even when we don't want it. Lord, help us not to be like Gideon and just keep asking and asking and asking, even after you've answered and answered and answered, Lord. But Lord, help us just to trust and obey.
Right.
And Lord, help us to raise our children to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good.